Blog Talk Radio.
And lead me in the everlasting way.
In the name of Jesus, I pray. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shalt they offer bullocks upon thine altar. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Welcome to the House of Christ Ministries presents Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com. For all your church supplies, including Bibles, books, audiobooks, Bible study, music, jewelry, apparel, greeting cards, and much more, visit our Christian bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com, our online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org, our online Bible college at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., at www.reverseofrevival.com. As we continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, we would like to invite you to partner with us today. House of Christ Ministries, Inc. is an apostolic outreach ministry that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ through a variety of mediums. From our radio broadcast, House of Christ Ministries presents Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission on www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis every Wednesday and Sundays, to our monthly mailing lessons, our social Christian network, our online Bible Institute and Bible College, or our websites, our posting of Words of the Day on numerous websites. We are reaching hundreds throughout the world for Jesus Christ. It is our desire to take the uncompromised and anointed Word of God to the whole world, starting with our local community, bringing lost souls to a practical relationship with Jesus Christ. Our mission at House of Christ Ministries, Inc. is to proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world and prepare believers and non-believers how to live independently and have dominion to reign over the enemies of this world. We encourage you to sow into this ministry for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and winning souls for the kingdom. Your prayer and financial support are an important component to bringing the gospel to the world. Together, we can make a difference. If you would like to send your prayer request or share a testimony or make a donation, please contact us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. As we continue on this spiritual journey, we would like to share with you our statement of faith. We believe the Bible to be the inspired and only infallible Word of God. We believe that there is one God, eternally existent in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the blessed hope, which is the rapture of the church of God, which is in Christ at his return. We believe that the only means of being cleansed from sin is through repentance, faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and being baptized in water. We believe that regeneration by the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential for personal salvation. We believe that the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross provides healing for the human body in answer to believing prayer. We believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 2 verse 4, is given to believers who ask for it. We believe that we believe in the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian is enabled to live a holy and separated life in this present world. We believe in the Great Commission according to Matthew 28 verses 18 through 20 and Mark 16 verses 17 through 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Dearly beloved, House of Christ Ministries, Inc.'s sole purpose is to equip the members of the body of Jesus Christ with the tools necessary to effectively function in the call of God on their lives. As believers, we are commissioned by the Lord to take the knowledge of Jesus Christ throughout the world. I pray that these teachings will be a blessing to you and will help you fulfill the Great Commission. I encourage you to join us every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/REV Davis. These teachings provide biblically based instruction to develop those that may be lacking basic understanding of the Word of God. How did it begin? How will it end? Do you want to learn the truth about creation? The creation of the heavens, planets, stars, earth, space, animals, plants? Do you want to receive in-depth teachings explaining the dynamics of creation of man, the fall of man, its effect on creation and generation to come? Do you want to know why God flooded the earth? Why are there so many languages? Why did man's lifespan decrease? What is the end of the world? Will it happen suddenly? Then you are invited to join us every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis. For more information and to receive copies of these teachings, which can be used in Bible study forums, write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003, or you can email us at hodminister@gmail.com. God bless you as we continue on this spiritual journey. scripture for tonight is taken from John chapter 8, verses 1 through 38, the King James Version. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came, and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judged after the flesh. I judged no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me, nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he said, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say, and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, He shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. Let us honor God's word. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. As we continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, our number one goal is Jesus Christ. Our mission is souls, and our vision is the last day's book of Acts. We encourage you once again to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis. Our lessons for tonight will be in the beginning, chapter 3. It is imperative that we Christians have an ability to give a reason for our faith. This includes being able to clearly explain the beginnings of our Father's creation so that people will know that we are not some evolutionary happenstance. Rather, that all creation has a purpose design. For far too long, the opinion-based science of man has been the standard that society has followed rather than the factual science of God. Yet, how can the science of God be propagated unless his people have understandings of it so that they can declare it? We are evidence of God's science, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. In this lesson, we will examine the creation of the stellar bodies, all living things, land, sea, and air, including man, giving greater proof of the factual science of the living God. We now come to the place wherein God establishes physical stellar bodies that will govern or have rule over the earth day and night, as well as them being a marker for times and seasons. Let's examine Genesis 1, verses 14 through 19. And God said, "Let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the sea from the to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Here we have the beginning of the fourth day, in which God does a light transference, wherein before the word of God gave light or illumination to the earth, we now have new lights being created. In Genesis 1, verse 3, light is spoken as singular. It reads, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." In Genesis 1, verses 14 through 19, light is spoken in a pluralistic sense, telling us that now the firmament or vacuum, which we call space, was now being lit or illuminated, and not just the earth alone, through the light of the Word of God. I want to point out that this firmament is not the same as the one in Genesis 1, verse 7, which divided the waters from the waters. That firmament is the heavens directly above the earth, in which the birds fly in, while the one in Genesis 1, verse 14, is the cosmos in which planetary bodies and stars reside. There are three heavens, and they are: first, the sky in the earth's atmosphere; the second heaven, the cosmos that holds the sun, moon, stars, and other planetary bodies. The third heaven, where God's throne is. The first heaven, Earth's atmosphere, is contained in the second heaven space. And there is a very good possibility that the second heaven is contained in the third heaven. That is to say, that all of the natural cosmos that we see is surrounded on all sides, above and beneath, by the third heaven or the spiritual realm. As I have stated in the previous parts of this lesson, the earth is the center of natural creation, and everything else is made around and for it. Look up in the sky and know that all of the stars that you see, including our sun, as well as other planetary bodies, were created to be a backdrop for and give light to the earth. These stars were not placed in random order. Rather, they were precisely placed in the cosmos to give reference to and be a sign for both season and times. God placed the zodiac in the heavens to speak of his plan for mankind. God is so great that he paints eternal pictures and lays out his plans with stars, telling the story of the virgin birth, as well as the defeat of the dragon, Satan. Even the cosmos was by intelligent design. So we see the stars were to tell us seasons, both natural and spiritual, that were coming upon certain hemispheres of the earth, as well as that apply to the earth as a whole. Also, signs that point to his plans before they were recorded by men, as well as those that make us aware of his salvation and his return. In Genesis 1, verse 16, we now see the details of the lights that are being created and how they center or focused upon the earth. God made the sun the greater light to have authority over the day, and the moon the lesser light to have authority over the night. It is important that you understand that there were no cloudy days or nights to challenge the rule or authority of the sun or moon. They ruled and had dominion, shining their respective levels of light during their appointed times of dominion. Versus man's time. Knowing that God often writes in his creation revelation it beckons to us to ask, are there more in-depth truths that are not on the surface in this text of Scripture, Genesis 1, verses 14 through 16? The revelation of the Son of God, Jesus, and His church are detailed in this scripture in both the time of their coming and their purpose. Let us start with the day that this part of creation was taking place, the fourth day. Now let us look at how God measured time. 2 Peter 3, verse 8, gives us insight regarding this. It says, "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." One day with God is paralleled or compared equal with 1,000 human years. So we can say that 4,000 years of human history is just 4 days with God. So what significant biblical event happened in the 4,000th year in human history? The birth of Jesus Christ and the creation of the church. They both were to bring light to the world, just like the physical sun and moon. Jesus said that he was the light of the world in John 8, verse 12, which says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now it is important that you know that the physical moon has no light of its own. Rather, it reflects the light of the sun, just as the church has no light of its own, but it reflects the light of the sun, Jesus Christ. Throughout Scripture, Jesus calls his disciples the light of the world. This was the case in Matthew 5, verse 14, which says, Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. The creation of the sun, moon, and stars on the fourth day was no coincidence, rather pre-designed to coincide with the revelation of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and the church, similar to the moon, in the 4,000 year, or in God's time, the fourth day. So inside the 6 days of creation, on the seventh day, God rested. God has placed truth that would be relevant at time move forward. This brings to a close those things created on the fourth day. Next, we have the creation of birds and sea creatures. In Genesis 1, verse 20 through 23, which says, And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and a fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament or heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly, after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. The first thing of significance that we must examine in this text of Scripture is that these creatures, both fowl and fish, were not created from the dirt or dust of the earth. Rather, the water is what they are made from. The Scripture says that the water brought them forth. They were not brought forth or created one by one, rather in mass or in collective numbers. Many would assume that birds would have been created of the earth, but they would be wrong. So the origin of the flesh of sea creatures and birds is not of earth, dirt, but water. Now the question may arise that asks, did God create each of these sea creatures and fowls by calling each of them out by name? No. When God created these things, they did not have names yet. For in Genesis 2, verses 19 through 20, we see God giving the privilege to name all living creatures to Adam. It reads, And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. So, if God did not create each of these sea creatures and fowls by calling them forth by name, how did he do it? Please understand that when God created both the sea creatures and fowls, he did not have to create them by speaking each one individually into existence. Rather, the immense thoughts of his mind was brought forth in the words, Let there be. So he thought of all sea life collectively in a moment of time, and he spoke the culmination of his thoughts, causing no need to call them by name individually. When God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament or heaven, that statement contained sharks, whales, rainbow trouts, crabs, lobster, shrimp, crawfish, catfish, chickens, pigeons, swans, geese, pelican, eagles, owl, etc. God's multiplied thoughts are manifested in both a few words. The waters began to differentiate. Some creating certain kinds of fish. The others, certain types of fowls after their kind. The waters understood and submitted to the will and mind of God in creation. Each drop creating what is God's mind was orchestrating them to create. Each water droplet had to follow the plan that God had for it. How great is our God! God declares to the fowls and sea creatures to be fruitful and multiply. To the sea creatures, he tells them to fill the seas, and to the fowls to multiply on the earth. Multiply does not mean just to add or have one reproduction at a time, but many. This was the end of the fifth day. Creation of land animals and insects. On day six, God begins to use the earth to create land animals and insects. I am sure that if some of us could time travel, we would go back to day six and plead with God to not create insects. Yet they have a purpose. Let us examine Genesis 1, verses 24 and 25. It reads, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." Here we have God creating land animals and insects, yet he does not personally create or form them from the dust of the earth as he does with man. Rather, he tells the earth to bring them forth, just like the ground brings forth vegetation. It brought forth land animals and insects as the decoration of God. Again, as with the sea creatures and fowls of the air, God did not have to create each of them by calling each species forth by name, but by a release of his thoughts that were compacted in the words, "Let the earth bring forth." Every species, every type of insect was in those words. Each of these animals and insects was designed to reproduce themselves and were incapable of mixed breeding of species. Dogs and cats can't produce a dog or cock. because God designed it so that only a dog and a dog can reproduce and bring forth another living animal after themselves. Man did not make genetic codes. God did. Man is trying to take credit for figuring out someone else's equation. I call this scientific plagiarism. There is no evolution in creation. Evolution is a doctrinal lie that the enemy offered to man in order to cause him to doubt the existence and order of God. Everything was made after its kind and did not over time become another kind. Creation of man. God creates all land-based things on the sixth day, including man. Although man was the last thing that God created, he was yet given authority over everything else, including the earth itself. If God gave man authority of earth, the centerpiece of natural creation, it would seem unlikely that God did not intend for man to rule over lesser natural things, such as the other stellar bodies. Genesis 1, verses 26 through 31 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, And behold, it was very good. And the evening on the morning were the sixth day. Up to this point, nothing in natural creation received anything spiritual. Rather, everything is from the earth alone. Yet God saw fit to make man with a spiritual component. We see this in the words image and likeness. The words image in verse 26 means the way we look. Man was made to look like God. Now the word likeness is not another way to say image. Likeness means the way that we are composed or make up. God is three parts. God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And man was made a triune being as well, three parts. Man is a spirit that has a soul, mind, or psyche that lives in a physical body. No other creature or part of natural creation received a spiritual impartation. We are like God not only in looks, but in composition, which affords us the opportunity to both function in the natural realm as well as the spiritual realm. Our natural flesh affords us the opportunity to handle natural things, while our spirit gives us entrance into the spiritual realm, and our minds gives us the ability to reason and think regarding natural and spiritual decisions. Again, man was made both spirit, giving him access to God, and flesh, having purpose and ability to function in the natural realm. The angels are spirits. Yet man is both spirit and body. Man's creation was different from all the other creation in that man was formed. When I think of how God took the time to personally form man in his own image, I can better understand Psalms 8 verse 4, which says, "What is man that thou art mindful of, and the Son of Man that thou visitest him?" Unlike any other natural creation, we were formed in the image and likeness of God, and he breathed into us a part of himself. This is why he is mindful of us, for we were created with a portion of him. Genesis 2, verse 7 and 8 tells us, of God forming man, it reads, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." The Hebrew word for formed is yatsar, meaning to form, fashion, frame, potter, maker. God did not do what he did with other parts of creation, making many beings with one word or command. Rather, he took time to design and fashion just one man. In that one were multitudes. This tells me that there was no other creation like man, singular in design, and important enough to God to just design one original. God's purpose designed for man was for him to have dominion. In verse 26, we see the Trinity speaking to themselves regarding the creation of man and their desired purpose for him. That dominion was based upon man's obedience to God, which caused righteousness. Man was given dominion over every creature on earth and the earth itself. Man was told to be fruitful and multiply, and to replenish or refill the earth, denoting that some form of life had previously existed on earth. In verse 22, the animals were not given that responsibility. The animals were not given authority over the earth, and so the responsibility to refill it could not be given to them. But Adam was given authority, and with authority comes responsibility. Man was also told to subdue the earth, meaning that he would have to bring it under his authority. In verse 29, we see God giving man diet instructions. Man was made to eat vegetables and herbs and fruits. This was man's meat or food that would give him strength. God did not make man a butcher knife to kill the animals, for that was not their purpose. Rather, the animals were Adam's subject, in which he was to learn, train to rule, protect, care for, and have dominion over. Adam was given much more than that of most creation, including, I believe, the angels. I do not believe that the angels procreate. Adam was given this privilege. We were not only made to look like God and be composed like God, but God, our Father, was intending to teach us to be like him in authority, rulership, and creativity, yet subject and totally submitted to him. Let me get back to diet instructions. In verse 30, we see God giving diet instructions regarding the animals and insects. They were to only eat vegetations, not fruits. God was satisfied with what he had created on the sixth day. And he called all of this day's creation very good, and not just good, giving us a clue as to God's love for man, bringing this day to an end. We appear to be having some technical difficulty at this time, and I trust that we will be able to resolve this issue and continue on this spiritual journey. I encourage you to join us every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also encourage you to visit our Christian social network at www.myhocm.ning.com and our online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org. We also encourage you to visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc. at www.riversofrevival.com. And as we continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world by honoring the Great Commission, we encourage you to visit We appear to be having some difficulties tonight, but I trust the Lord that we will prevail. Father, we thank you once again, and we bless you for this opportunity to minister to your people, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Jesus is mine.
Ministries, Inc. is an apostolic outreach ministry that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ through a variety of mediums, from our radio broadcast, House of Christ Ministries presents Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission every Wednesday and Sundays, to our monthly mailing lessons, our social Christian network, our online Bible Institute and Bible College, our websites, our posting of words of the day on numerous websites throughout. We are reaching hundreds throughout the world for Jesus Christ. It is our desire to take the uncompromised and anointed word of God to the whole world, starting with our local community, bringing lost souls to a practical relationship with Jesus Christ. Our mission at House of Christ Ministries is to proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world and prepare believers and non-believers how to live independently and have dominion to reign over the enemies of this world. We encourage you to sow into this ministry for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and winning souls for the kingdom. Your prayer and financial support are an important component to bringing the gospel to the world. Together we can make a difference. If you would like to send your prayer request or share a testimony or make a donation, please contact us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com.
For behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to pay every man according as his work shall be. He's gonna take a turn.
Take a turn someday.
So be watchful and be ready.
Watchful and be ready.
I hear my Savior say.
I hear my Savior say.
When the trump of God shall sound.
Trump of God shall sound.
And the dead in Christ shall rise.
The dead in Christ shall rise.
All the saints shall rise up.
Saints,
hallelujah,
to meet him.
Way up yonder, up yonder,
up yonder in.
Oh, bless the name of Jesus.
As my Jesus was about to depart from this earth, disciples, he appeared unto them.
Hallelujah.
They asked, Master, please will you tell us, Lord, what shall the sign of your coming be? He said, let not your heart be troubled, my little children.
Hallelujah, 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 we praise the Lord.
Tonight. God bless you and good night.